Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to read Romans 13, 1 to 7, and then I'm going to pray for safety.
Pray that we'll humble ourselves and listen to the Lord.
Yes, well, there's another.
The whole council.
I will read from the New King James Version, but will preach from the New Living, which is up on the screen. Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, and customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's pray. Lord, your word is powerful and effective. It teaches us how to survive on planet Earth under your rulership and under the rulership that you put in place as sovereign God over all creation. We are not Americans, Lord. We are Canadians. We are people on planet Earth who've been called to live under you. And I pray, God, that you would, by your Spirit, teach us what that means as the citizens of heaven who live on planet Earth, subject not only to your rule, but to the people you put in charge. Humble us, change our attitudes if they need changing, bring us up to your standards, Lord, if that is required. But we ask by your Spirit, Lord, that you would impart truth into us so that we might be the citizens on planet Earth that reflect the glory you want us to reflect as those transformed by the risen Christ. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The joy of preaching every 2 weeks is that I have 2 weeks of wrestling with the text, which I don't think in this case is actually probably a good idea. Too much wrestling, too much pondering, and too much studying leaves room for more questions than answers. I have been going through the Bible in quite some fashion, seeing, which I totally and honestly believe with all my heart, because that's what Scripture teaches, that God is 100% in control of everything. I don't think an ant farts without God knowing it, or even possibly ordaining it, because he has built that ant with his digestive system. You believe that? He knows every single star, every bird. He looks after every one of his creatures. And so we can decide in our hearts that he's absolutely, totally in control of everything, or he's not.
Yeah.
The more I read my Bible, the more I realize he's absolutely, totally in control. So what is our response as human beings to the planet? Well, that's a whole sermon in itself. But we know that all creation is groaning, from the ant to the human, waiting for the redemption of the whole planet. And we are seeing the effects of our stewarding that has not gone well on planet Earth. We are reaping what we have sowed in terms of stewarding with the planet that God has given us. And we are suffering. As Christians, citizens of heaven who've been redeemed and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to be a different people who declare the praises of God. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2. And so when I read Romans, the first 11 chapters are doctrine and how God has in his mercy come to rescue planet Earth from itself and its sin and its death, and saved individuals out of it who put their faith in Christ. And then we come to Romans 12 and we see, okay, this is how these individuals who are now redeemed and indwelt by Christ live on planet Earth. And so if we go to Romans 12, before we jump into Romans 13, we see that these commands, let love be without hypocrisy, verse 9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. The greatest fruit or demonstration that we are people of God is that we have the love of Christ poured into our hearts. We don't act like the world does. We don't respond like the world does. We don't criticize and condemn and complain like the world does. And so we have to wrestle with that, being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That's the church. We love each other. We take a low position to raise someone else up. That's called humility. Jesus practiced it, and he wants the church to practice it. He says regarding chapter 13, I believe, we can't just jump into 13 without reading 12. And chapter 12, verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Well, it seems to be human nature in North America to curse our leaders and to criticize and do everything but stone them ourselves. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. There's a lot of opinion by people who think they're wise out there, especially if you follow any of the YouTube influencers. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so that's our foundation. There's no clauses, there's no escape clauses out of that text. It's pretty plain and simple. These are how redeemed people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of Christ, are supposed to respond. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Out of that, he's talking to the church, in Rome. He's not been to Rome yet. He's probably writing from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He's writing, I just want you to think about Paul and Peter and John and the persecution they've already experienced as we read the book of Acts. They've already been preaching the gospel. They've experienced beatings and whippings and jail time and everything for the gospel. They're living for Jesus. They're radically doing things that their normal world would not do. And Paul says, out of that, out of his own experience, out of the gospels, which he's probably read, because a lot of this comes out of the gospels, and we saw that last time we were together, where the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about, you know, loving your enemies and going the extra mile and giving to them who don't deserve it. And it's just a totally different ethic we live in, right? If you just read scripture, we're supposed to hate our family, not allow them to influence us, but actually lead them to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. To the point where Jesus would say, if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to turn your whole world your whole life on the world, if you're not willing to turn away from the influence of your family and your job and the world, do not conform no longer to the patterns of this world, be transformed. Okay, if you're not willing to do that, you're not worthy of following me. Even your own family. It's a hard call, people.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can really read Romans 13 without understanding we are called to a higher standard. Because we're representatives of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So he says this. My goal right now is to show you how God is absolutely, totally, sovereignly in control of planet Earth from beginning of the Bible to the end. Or should I say, from the beginning of time to the end of time, he's totally 100% in control. And so the next few slides will be all that. I'm just going to prove from Scripture that God is absolutely, totally, 100% in control of every single thing on planet Earth, especially, in this particular case, of governments.
Yeah.
Okay? Romans 13:1. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. All government. Reading the New Living Translation, okay? It says, there's no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist, all of them are appointed by God. Now, do you just think about that? There's not one government that's ever existed that is not from God. I don't care if it's Pol Pot, Hitler, Mussolini. They're from God. And you got to ask yourself, why? And you'll never get an answer to that question. But here's the answer. Because he's God. Period. Some things are just beyond our comprehension. Who can know the mind of the Lord? And so I want to take you through the Bible. If we don't get anywhere beyond this, that's fine. Because we'll pick it up next time. But just look at these scriptures. Psalm 83:18, you alone are called the Lord, that you alone are most high, supreme over all the earth. And I want you to ask yourself, as you read these scriptures, do I believe that? Do I absolutely believe that God is most high, supreme over all the earth? That means he's ruler, in control. As we looked at last time, all things are under him. Maybe I wrote in my blog, I don't know. All things are under him. He holds everything together, right? They're all created for him and through him and by him, and they exist because of him. Psalm 75, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for punishment. Ooh, Lord. You don't have to understand. See, we live by faith. We don't have to understand that. You can understand that, but he has a purpose. You can think of people. We already talked about, as we went through Romans, we talked about Pharaoh. We talked about Judas. They were created for his glory. Okay, so he could demonstrate his power even over those who are opposed to him. 1 Samuel 2:7, the Lord makes one poor and another rich. He brings one down and lifts another up. I mean, you can't even wrap your head around these scriptures. And some of you are saying, really? That's what it says? I've never seen that before. Right. So the question is this morning, as we look at these scriptures, are we going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to change our theology so it's not man-centered, but it's God and his word-centered? Because a lot of our theology in churches is man-centered. Well, because I'm his, or because I'm this, and because I'm in this country, I deserve this, or I have the right to this. And really, these scriptures say God is in control, and he determines who gets the right and who doesn't. So Paul says in Acts 17, very popular, next slide, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He satisfies every need there is. From one man, he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose in all this was that the nations would seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. And some translations say he appointed where each person should live, like each nation should live on the planet. And so, if God is sovereign, and we have someone from Germany, someone from Italy, who migrated to Canada, they were born there. Yeah. But by the sovereign hand of God, whether we realize it or not, they're brought here.
Yeah.
And they get saved here.
Right.
And they get married here, and they start a family here. And as you get saved, and you get more in the Word, you realize, God, and you will hear this often in testimonies, of those who've been wandering for years and years and from alcoholism and drugs and everything else, God used it all for his glory. He had allowed it and had a purpose for it. And it's not really until you get saved that you kind of say, wow, he had his hand on my life the whole time. Mm-hmm. Right? Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Okay. I put in Genesis 50:20 because if you think of Joseph and his life, okay, being thrown in a pit, left for dead, rescued by Ishmaelites and sold into slavery and brought to Egypt, you know, the whole thing. Falsely accused, thrown in prison, comes out of prison because he can interpret dreams. He's elevated all the way up to second in command over all of Egypt, right? I mean, you only say, that's an incredible story. I mean, we love that story. The world has taken it. They've made it this wonderful little play that has absolutely nothing with the sovereignty of God. And this is the whole theme that brings the whole story of Joseph together, which is one quarter of the book of Genesis, over one quarter, Genesis 37 to 50. He ends with this. You, my brothers, who wanted to get rid of me, intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Right?
Yeah.
And so Joseph, who's even so transformed by the Egyptian role, he speaks Egyptian.
Yeah.
He realizes all of this was for this moment,
right,
so that he could save the Israelites
so
from
the Israelites
famine
become Egypt.
And destruction.
Yeah.
He gets it. God is sovereign, totally in control. Probably no other book so clearly explains it than Daniel.
No.
Daniel. He determines the course of world events. He removes kings and sets others up on the throne. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholar. You know this, right? The purpose of this decree is that the whole world may understand that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of humans. Okay? I mean, those scriptures are so clear. Are they not clear? Who's in control of the world? God. Does he decide which king he raises up? Have you read 1 and 2 Samuel? You remember? The people want a god or a king after the world's image.
Right.
So he gives him Saul. And Saul turns out to be a total loser and disobedient to God. And God takes him out and replaces him with David. Right? Who's in control? We don't see this just for the people of Israel. We see this on a national, global stage. Jesus said to Pilate, who thinks he's totally in charge, I have the power to release you, you know. You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above.
That's a good one.
That's a great line. Like God himself in the flesh tells a world leader, authority over this area of Roman Empire, you're not in control.
Right.
God's in control. Jeremiah. We'll see that God is totally in control of King Nebuchadnezzar. I will give your countries to King Neb of Babylon, who is my servant. Neb works for me. He does what I want him to do. I have put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. Friends, you got to shake your head at this. You just go, wow, this is incredible. Daniel, your majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty. He's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking about this to one of Nebuchadnezzar's descendants who's now reigning, Belshazzar. Your majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and language trembled before him in fear. He was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of an animal, and he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven until he learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. I mean, is that clear, friends? Does that get any clearer than that? So that's King Nebuchadnezzar. He is an instrument or a servant in my hand, and I do with him what I want. He says this of the Assyrian Empire. The whip of my anger, I will use you even to discipline my own people. Its military power is a club in my hand, it says. Okay? God uses nations to fulfill his purposes. We'll just keep going here. There's so many. Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, who, by the way, this is prophesied over 100 years before Cyrus is even born. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one, his chosen one, whose right hand he will empower. I mean, you just listen to this language. That's why I chose the New Living, because it's so plain. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be open, never again to shut against him. This is what the Lord says, I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. Before he's even born.
Yeah.
You know the story of Esther? You know that whole story? There's not one mention of God in the whole book. However, Esther's there for a reason, to stop the assassination of millions of Jews, or thousands of Jews. If you keep quiet at a time like this, this deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. What's more, who can say but that you have been elevated to the place for just such a time as this? Wow, she risks her own life to go and meet with the king. Putting her life on the line under the control of a sovereign God who's not even mentioned in the whole story to save her people. Just like Joseph. I mean, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Sent to a foreign land to save his people. Romans 9:17. How sovereign is God over people and kings? The scripture says that God told Pharaoh, we've seen this, many of you struggle with this, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you so that my fame might spread throughout the whole earth. Isn't that crazy? I've appointed you. I've chosen you for the very purpose, Pharaoh, of displaying my power in you so that my fame might spread throughout the earth. You think you're in control? You think you control my people? Oh, by the way, he prophesied in Genesis 15, hundreds of years before they would even be in Egypt, his people, Israel. He prophesied they would be there for 400 years. And now he tells them it's time to free, because I made up my mind it's time for them to be free.
Yeah.
And so you got to free them.
Yeah.
Exodus 10, the Lord said to Moses, return to Pharaoh and again make your demands. I have made him and his officials stubborn so I can continue to display my power by performing miraculous signs among them. You'll be able to tell wonderful stories to your children and grandchildren about the marvelous things I'm doing among the Egyptians to prove that I am the Lord. He's telling that to Moses.
Yeah.
Here's my purpose. I want to get glory, and I want to use you to bring me glory, that when I deliver you from the hand of this tyrant, they will say, wow, this God is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all he's done. And I wrote in my devotional, he's in control of every single creature, the frogs, the gnats, the wind, the storm, the sea. He's totally in control of everything. Final one, Exodus 14. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They will follow the Israelites into the sea. Then I will receive great glory at the expense of Pharaoh and his armies, chariots and charioteers. When I am finished with Pharaoh and his army, all Egypt will know that I am the Lord. That's why he does what he does. That's why he's in control, so that everyone knows that he is God Almighty. Okay, that's who he is. Why is he so in control of the universe? Because it's his. And he does what he wants on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you just ask yourself, okay, if God is in control of this huge planet with 8 million people on it, is he in control of my life? Do you think he can handle anything that you throw at him? Do you think he can handle anything that happens in your life? From the worst situation to the best situation? You think like he can turn that bad into good? See, we have such a finite mind that we don't see that maybe God's, if this thing did not go the way I want, maybe he's keeping you from something. Because he sees way down the road, or sees in the near future what can happen. If he allows this, or if you are allowed to go down this road, here's what's going to happen. He actually prevents us from going down that road. He has the ability to change people's hearts. Did you see that in this text? Like, he's so sovereign. So you bring all these texts down. Like, he's in control of every world leader that's ever existed. I just a snippet, okay? Take it down to Guelph 2026. Because we sure like to complain about our leaders, right? We love to criticize them. We love to call them names. We love to think, oh man, can't believe these guys. I'm just as guilty. Sometimes I say, really? Like, you put that guy in there? You allow that guy? I mean, you know where it's going when a guy like that is in control. Right? You know it. You know, if God isn't in control of, let's say, Mr. Trump, we're doomed. There has to be some kind of restraint, right? Somebody has to be in control. Because he's out of control. Praise God. When I read my Bible, he's in control. Okay, so you need to get that. I need to get that in my spirit, in my heart. It needs to be a truth that sinks deep in my heart. Is my God totally in control of every single leader on planet Earth who's ever lived? Does he know exactly what he's doing at any time? Does he know, you know, why Poilievre is the opposition? Does he know why Carney is leading our country? Absolutely. Does he know why Trump is leading? Yeah, absolutely. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. Okay, so that's verse 1. Here's verse 2. Because our duty as followers of Christ is to submit to what God has put in place. We're not submitting to a government, we're submitting to God, because God has put it in place.
Yeah.
You see the difference? The citizens of planet Earth who serve not man but God, we submit to what God has done. He says this in his own context. I mean, friends, like, can you just think of the Roman Empire? Like, I don't know if you've ever studied it. It was evil. It was a nasty, nasty empire. They did whatever they wanted with people. Okay, they didn't like the color of your skin. You were dedicated to slavery. You know, it's just nasty, nasty stuff. Those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. Verse 3, Romans 13, for the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right. They frighten those who do wrong. So do what they say and you will get along. Well, the authorities are sent by God to help you, but if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. Okay? God has set up authority on planet Earth in individual nations to look after and steward the people that he's put there and the whole property that he's put them on. And this is not a one-off. Okay, Peter says, for the Lord's sake, accept all authority, the king as head of state and the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish all who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Titus, Paul says to Titus, remind your people to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Okay? So this is our heart as followers of Jesus. We're obeying the scripture. Scripture is not written by man, it's written by God for our edification and instruction. Okay? God wants us to submit to authority. Here's the purpose of governments. You must obey the government for two reasons: to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too, for these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid so they can keep on doing the work God intended them to give. That's the New Living. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but that interpretation. But, I mean, it's true. Okay, taxes support governments who look after the country you're living in. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes, import duties, and give respect and honor to all whom it is due. That means keep your mouth shut. Submit. I think the hardest part of submitting is not cursing and criticizing and complaining. It's okay to point out the obvious injustices and wrongs in governments, like our governments in Canada's not really punishing criminals in many cases. They're back on the streets. I mean, there's so many things that are wrong in the government, but as we're told by Paul to 1 Timothy, we should be praying for our governments. It's a command. So here's the two things that the government's supposed to do. They're supposed to punish wrongdoers, which mainly means maintain law and justice in society. That's where they're there. And with all the money they receive from taxes and everything else, they're steward resources for the good of the people. Supply what is needed for the survival and provision of the citizens. That's what a government is supposed to do.
I think that's where we struggle.
We do struggle.
Because we have different ideas.
However, this is where I want to jump a little bit. because we're going to talk about the problems with this. But first of all, we can't go forward until you believe the Word of God.
Right.
I don't know. Only you know that. I'm not going to do a show of hands how many believe this, because it is a lot of stuff you have to believe. You got to work it out. It's God's Word. It needs to be obeyed.
There's blessings for obedience.
So I said I was not going to mention the scandemic that just happened, so I'm not going to mention it, but we are on this side of the scandemic, okay? Pandemic, for those of you who don't know what I'm saying. Here's some of the problems I listed from a practical point of view with Romans 13. Authorities are made up of fallen and fallible people. You would all agree with that. Most have no regard for the God of the Bible or Christ. They are susceptible to demonic persuasion because there's a God of this age, the ruler of the principalities, the power of the air, who actually controls the world. Okay? We're called to submit. Individual leaders have agendas and play favorites. Really? In our country? They are led by the flesh, not by the spirit, and are easily manipulated by the loudest voices, especially in democracies. I do not believe democracy is from God. It's just probably the best solution we have, so we don't kill each other. We are in the world, not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven, while being citizens of earth. That's Philippians 3:20. Submission is not an option. It's a command from God to reflect a higher kingdom ethic. Okay? We have evil dictators, we have communism, we have despots and tyrants that we have to deal with. When you read your Bible, those individuals are also put there by God. He allows them, for whatever reason, he allows them to bring judgment on his own people. I don't know. Honestly, this is one of the things I wrestle with. Does God still operate like that when he judges Son instead of us? These are some theological questions. But we know, friends, we know that there is sufficient scriptural evidence to support nonviolent resistance when the government is opposite to God's will. If the government who's put there by God is not obeying God's word, okay, they're doing their own thing, then we as citizens of heaven who submit to Christ first, to God first, okay, we need to obey God rather than man. I think everybody's there, right? I mean, and I'm just going to show you a few scriptures. You know, Daniel prayed to God when commanded not to do so. Literally. Right. Literally. And he didn't do it like, just going to go in my prayer closet here. He opened the window for everyone to see. He knelt down on the floor and prayed out loud so people heard him when he was told not to pray to anyone but the king. Literally. It's a violent, non-violent resistance. Non-violent resistance. Okay? This will be on the website. The three Hebrew boys who were told not to bow down to the king. You know, they end up in the fire because they bowed down to the king. Or they bowed down to no one but God. Okay? They took a stand in the society that they're in. They chose to disobey the laws of the land. And here's the thing, friends. They suffered the consequences of their choice. They didn't go out in the street and lead a protest. They didn't go, you know, flip over cars and burn buildings and do all that crazy stuff that the world protesters do. They chose just to obey God and keep doing what they're doing, knowing there's a consequence. It's radically different. Esther confronted the king when commanded not to do so. Right? She saved all the Jewish people. The Hebrew midwives, they didn't kill the baby males, they were told to drown.
Right.
They didn't do it.
Right.
Because they feared God. It literally says because they feared God. They didn't fear the Egyptians who would kill them. They feared God. The apostles defied the order not to preach the name of Jesus. What did they say? We must obey God rather than man.
Yes.
I could ask a whole bunch of questions. I'm just presenting the Word of God to you. Okay, that's all I'm doing this morning, presenting the Word of God, so we can wrestle with how do we apply this now? How do we apply it? I have marched in protests, nonviolent protests. I've gone down to City Hall. I've done silent prayer for right to life and other things. I have advocated verbally for the homeless, not violently, but I think everybody is entitled to a roof over the head and food on the table. I think that's a basic thing that governments need to supply their people with. I think people's basic needs come before arms and buildings, or remodeling, buying aircraft, or remodeling City Hall, right? I think that's basic. And I think when governments put their own needs before people's needs, we have a problem. So the question is, based on the problems and based on the obvious responses to the governments when they're not doing the right thing, do we fight, do we protest, do we resist? Jesus said, I'm not an earthly king. If I were, my followers would have fought when I was arrested by the Jewish leaders, but my kingdom is not of this world. This is a radical shift. We are not subjects of this planet. We are literally aliens passing through, and our citizenship is in heaven. We answer to a higher authority. But the authority that we answer to actually says submit to government. We're not to pick up arms, we're not to pick up swords. I mean, he rebuked Peter for cutting off the guy's ear when he was getting arrested, right? It's non-violent resistance. They went to jail. They suffered beatings and persecutions.
Yeah.
Romans 12:14, if people persecute you because you're a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Again, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. If you think of biblical time period, they didn't have the option of getting a lawyer and going to court and fighting. I mean, Paul used that in his defense to go and, because he was a Roman citizen, he was taken to Rome to stand trial there. But there were many, 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 many people who didn't have that option because they weren't citizens of Rome. They had no one to represent them. Slaves didn't have the opportunity to go and say, my master's treating me poorly, I'm going to take him to court. They didn't have that opportunity. And we see even in the scripture says submit to your slaves. So the question is, how now do I live? How do I live my life right now on planet Earth? Submission to higher authorities reflects trust in God's sovereignty. Okay? We don't submit to authorities because they're good authorities. We submit to a sovereign God who has placed the authority there and told us to submit. FYI, read your Bibles. Persecution is part of God's plan. Okay? Not for resisting authorities, but for not allowing us to be who Christ wants us to be, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, raise the dead. Like anything that If the government is stopping us from being kingdom people and living out the kingdom of God, no congregating, okay, no public prayer, as is happening around the world. We just passed a law here, right? Bill C-9, where it says you cannot preach hate. Who decides what hate is? Okay, so there will be a cost there. The government says you're not allowed to quote the Bible anymore. Guess what law we're going to break? That law. Right? We have to make a decision and resolve on ourselves. I must obey God, not man. So, in our minds, it says according to conscience here. Here's the conscience. How do we deal with these issues? God has a law, right? The Ten Commandments rule everything. Really, God's word is a summary of the Ten Commandments. He rules, it's our law, and it's placed in us, okay, when we're born again by the Spirit of God and understand what it means. And so that's our conscience. If it comes against our conscience, thou shalt not murder. We do not support abortion because it's murder. Okay? We do not support same-sex marriage because God says marriage, God's law says marriage is between a man and a woman. I mean, Everything comes through God's word, which should be in our spirit. So we walk in the spirit, not in the flesh like the world does. Okay? You will remember, if you have read your Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2, that God is going to allow a world leader who is an antichrist, totally opposed to God's law. Antichrist. He's opposed to the kingdom of God. God is going to actually put him in power. Do you understand the implications of that? That we are living in society where this antichrist could be on planet Earth right now, possibly? Because we see lawlessness increasing more and more. We see people who do violent crimes getting back on the streets. We see the police are unable to maintain the craziness in cities. Like, violence is definitely on the increase, even though the news will tell you it's not. Friends, it's part of God's plan. All of this is part of God's plan. How are we going to respond to it? And so that's what I want to do. I want to open it up. Because I don't have the answers. We're living in a 2026 context with a command to submit to government. This is not about needles and jabs and vaccines. It's not about that at all. Okay? Everyone has the ability to choose what's right for them and wrong for them, even as Christians. This is about, really, it boils down to this. I have a rule book that tells me how to live my life on planet Earth. I also have a rule book that tells me how to live my life in society. By the Spirit of God, I need to find out by prayer and by gathering with others who are wrestling through this together how we submit to both while still honoring God. Lord, we thank you for the ability to wrestle together with what your word says and apply it to our lives for this such a time as this. But Lord, I'm sure everyone would just confess that we need to be better representatives, stronger representatives, stand up more for truth and righteousness in this land, to demonstrate in our lives at least that there is a God who reigns supreme. And so equip us by your Spirit, Father, to be those ambassadors for Christ you've called us to be, who let Christ rule in our hearts and let love reign as we minister to our neighbors. Oh God, change us. Continue to work this word out in our minds and hearts that we would really comprehend what you're saying to us in the church for such a time as this, Lord. It is, according to your word, going exactly the way you said, getting worse, getting more permissive, and even lawless. And Lord, we want to make it to the end. We want to continue to follow you with whole hearts till you come to get us out of here. We want to be faithful. We need your power, Lord. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys. Lord bless you.